this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast.
I'm John.
And I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Whoo, we just started April. It's an extra special pod because you're home, back with baby girl, safe and sound. Happy to hear that, sir. But United, back from international break. US is qualified. England's qualified. Same group. But more importantly, is that top four race over yet? Or are we going to keep fooling ourselves for the rest of April?
4% per 538.com. So you're saying there's a chance Hans and Franz, you know, that beat drop at the end of that theme has a special place in all of our hearts at the American Red Devils podcast. It feels like it's just gravity. It's going to come back. We enjoy those angelic voices, but hey, if you can't beat a horrid Leicester City side who plays horribly away from home, who just got bossed off the pitch by Arsenal, who we used to laugh at, then you don't deserve it. And man, this team just doesn't want to ever show up. Back against the wall, pretty much this is the only thing you can play for. A fourth spot for Manchester United is an embarrassment, if we're being honest. Like, the fact we're even trying to get up for a run at it is insane. These players with the biggest wage bill in the league look like a bunch of chumps. I mean, the first half, lackluster, and then we do pin one back, but then we arguably give up the winner. VAR bails us out, and then we got nothing. You know, Fred scores that goal, and you expect us to really wave after wave, tons of passion. We're going to get back in it. Something to play for. Everything's on the line. Season on the line. And this team just wilts. There's nothing that they won't. They just don't care. I mean, they didn't care. They didn't dig when it came to Atletico. Arguably should have been out in the group stage in the Champions League. Same story. Seen this movie before. Give us a new manager. Same old players, same old owners, probably going to be the same old result next season. But hashtag legs was out. That's all I got to say about this one.
And that's going to be the motto until they're gone, to the end of days, sir. We're going to see the Mighty Reds play at Old Trafford against Chelsea in mid-May. There is a protest planned for that day. It isn't organized by the American Devils, but it'll be participated by members of the American Red Devils, sir. Because the Heat's got to stay on the board at the end of the day. But here's the thing. All United fans, if they're anything like myself, they showed up. They just wanted to see some football today. They just wanted to see the boys play, come out, maybe give us some exciting football to look at. Doesn't even have to be a result. And it's just like, we got the same shit. Shame on us for expecting anything differently out of this bunch of players and this lackluster organization that basically is... It is a rudderless ship. The more you say it, the more it just feels like there's no other phrase that can so perfectly encapsulate what we're at the moment. It's like, we haven't even appointed a manager yet for next season. And it's like, they're not playing for this manager. Maybe they'll play for the next manager, but you can't really expect them to do much more because what are they getting out of their club? Their club can't even figure out how to appoint a manager. Like, and we have a friendly manager that wants to join at a club that we have a relationship with. We bought players from before. We obviously have a relationship with their CEO. And we're still dragging our feet. And everything we do is just dragging our feet, FC. So I was hoping that today would be a nice big 3 points to push us on for, even if we didn't finish the top four, just like something exciting. And we have nothing to look for. You know what I'm going to look forward to? The UEFA Youth Cup. Because the kids are playing in that. I mean, that's it. The U23s, U18s. Because this first team, it's just like, it sucks the joy out of me. I was watching today. That's joyless football.
It's pretty bad, and hey, the fans cheered Harry Maguire, so I'm sure he felt a little better coming back as a horrible Manchester United captain playing horribly. I mean, Manchester United, a poor Leicester side, like I said, I saw Arsenal boss them off the pitch a couple of weeks ago, and we're playing counter against them at home. I mean, we're playing scared against Leicester City with B-Raj. They're in ninth. I mean, for Manchester United, the stadium's rotting inside and out. The training ground, it's rotting, sir. It's old. It's haggard. This squad, the culture, everything about this team at the moment. I mean, this club, rudderless ship from the top. I mean, the board is to blame. How we got here, highest wage bill in the league, and we look like we need to go to football school. These guys don't know what they're doing. Rangnick coming in, trying to do something he hasn't managed in 10 years. How do you get the Rangnick decision as the interim, and then you wait till April to get a new manager? How does Ed Woodward's number two get the main job after Ed Woodward ran this club into the ground for a decade? No excuses for Manchester United. It's out there in plain sight. Us fans, it's the hope that kills you. 2 weeks off, we forgot how shit we were. We forgot we lost a shitty 4-1. Hey, Leicester's bad. We can boss them. It's at home. And here we are, 1-1, and probably should have lost. Leicester looked like they were trying to win the game. We had something to play for. They don't. We should have been the ones digging deep, trying to get the result. And that says everything about this United side. The players look like they want to get back on Instagram and check their bank accounts. There's no team there. There's no desire. There's no mentality. Seems about everything but football at Manchester United. Maui Jim Stadium coming soon.
It is coming, by the way. There's already rumors about like them selling the land. They're going to do a naming rights deal, so they're going to grab every pot of cash they can on the way out, sir. They don't give a shit. They're going to leave this club in complete disarray. You think current state of affairs?
Selling that land,
sir. Current state of affairs are bad. They're going to get worse because wait till this summer. But that being said, pressure's got to stay at the top. We know it. But like, you know, those players we talked about on the Patreon pod. Shout out, join Patreon, true MVPs. And we do a special Patreon pod every month. We're just talking about it. It's like, if the club knew what they were doing and they were thinking long term and they were thinking 3-5 year plan, that's how you have to be thinking. If Erik ten Hag, the rumor number one, is going to be your next man, it's going to be low and slow no matter what club you are. Even if you joined a city, they're a machine now, but if you joined a city 6-7 years ago, it's going to be, it doesn't happen in a year. And you just need a front office that is willing to go for that ride and be like, all right, we're going to do something new. This didn't work. 80 million on Harry Maguire, 90 million on Paul Pogba. It just doesn't work. It's like you have to take that money, that summer budget, and split it into two, three, four players, right? Some of them will work out, some won't. That's just the way that shit works. But like, you do it your whole summer kitty on one player, and that summer, and they don't work out, then you're in a world of hurt. And that's what we're doing. And by setting ourselves up for the same thing, based on all the rumors you're hearing, which are probably right, is like Harry Kane and Declan Rice for inflated prices.
We can't afford that.
I know. We can afford one of them structured, you know, like kick the can FC. But that's not how you do deals. I know that's like the Ed Woodward, a lot of tweets. If you sign a big name, especially if he's English, you'll get a lot of tweets. But like, that's not how you build a football club. And what we should be doing now is the players who are gone should be playing. They shouldn't even be playing for the youth team, bro, because the youth team have more heart than these kids. Is have Hannibal feature, have you know, some of these youngsters who are like breaking on through, have them feature, because this season's gone, bro. It's like, what's the Hans and Franz Cup? What's the cup below the Hans and Franz Cup? The Europa Conference League? I don't even think you get Hans and Franz music. What's that intro song, sir? What?
No, it's the same. It's the same. Oh, it's the same.
Well, thank goodness. Yeah, yeah. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. That's all I got.
Yeah. So
that's
all I got.
Intro, baby.
Look, it's a tough day. I mean, as a United fan, this is I think what this draw, and obviously I always say it's a loss, you know, when it is a draw. What this represents is the end of a season. An end of a season. We're going into it. We thought we were going to be challenging for the title. Under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, we thought these players could kick on. We added Sancho, Ronaldo, Varane. Like, we could do it. United are back. And boy, did these players let us down. And then they turned their backs on Ole. They threw him under the bus. Then Rangnick came in. Then they leaked against Rangnick. It's been a toxic dressing room from the start. And the fact you saw a group of players looked like they didn't even care against Leicester City today shows you the lows. And this is what this season is. So this is, it says to me, it's a rebuild. And it sucks to say, but the case study for anyone watching is you saw Arsenal spend big money on a bunch of young players and back the manager against the toxic, older, big money wage player that they had, and they looked to be sorting it out and backing the manager, bringing in youth over multiple contracts, right? You look at the second, third contract, like Rangnick talked about, and that is where United need to go. And the man to do it with is Ten Hag. So if we can get Ten Hag in, that's great. But to go sign Harry Maguire and Declan Rice, that's wrong. So again, the board doing the opposite of what the manager needs. And United need to be aligned in the front office as well as Erik Ten Hag. Apparently, he's the guy coming in. I just fear you're going to get Ten Hag, but then you're going to get like a Harry Kane or a Declan Rice. And this club just looks to never be figuring it out. And we're just going to be in this cycle until it's hashtag Glazers out. And that's why us as fans, we need to band together on social. We need to boycott sponsors. We need to make them feel it, sir. We are going to that protest. I cannot wait. I always wear the green and gold, but the owners need to hear it, because that BS that Joel Glazer spun us after the Super League is a nightmare. They haven't communicated with fans. There's no plan for the stadium. John Henry Davies bought that land and they sell it. We're going to burn the mother down. There's no way they're going to do a lease back on that field. That is sacred.
So they want to do
ground
it.
It's, to it's, us it's, fans. And it's insane that if they even think about it, that's a bridge too far. I think they're going to, no, fans won't let it. This is just good. I think this is going to get real ugly. I think about that.
That's land that's been owned by the club for 120 years, sir. They're going to sell it to like
John Henry Davies.
I know, bro. We were just talking. I was just rewatching as we get into the intro for the pod, our excellent history section on YouTube. Check it out. It's amazing. But like that land was literally bought in like 1902, bro. They're going to like sell it to like somebody.
JP Morgan.
Yeah, dude. Exactly. Like his banker friend. So it's Glazers out. That's it. Because it doesn't matter who the next manager is. It doesn't matter. It matters the front office, because you still have Matt Judge. He's like a moron. He's doing your deals. You have Murtaugh. He's not qualified, right? He was picked by Ed Woodward. And Ed Woodward, they had the same guy, basically. They had a Spanish Ed Woodward at Barcelona, and they like ran him out with pitchforks because he gave Messi a $1.4 billion contract. This, our version of that, hired the next guy. Because that's sanctioned by the Glazers, sir. So the Glazers are the problem. They will continue to be the problem. And we have to just focus on the problem. And until the problem is eradicated from the club, we're going to suffer.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do understand the Manchester United Supporters Trust must. Like, the Glazers finally reach out and they look to be engaged after that protest. But come on. I knew they were going to lie. Maybe they could have turned it around. But I knew they wouldn't. Because you have to know structurally what this is, and this is sort of a trust fund for kids. They're not really concerned about the club, the history, et cetera. So, you know, if they're not, then
they're like
60, they got to go.
And, they're old as shit.
But, like,
they
us fans, we're fickle, though. Fans are fickle. You know, a lot of fans were back. They're buying it all, Megastore, everything, because of the big signings this summer. And now we got to learn our lesson, because now we need new owners. We need someone who wants to win and bring Manchester United back to where it belongs, and let's hope the Glazers are out sooner rather than later. But a quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the America Red Devils and you want to meet other Muppets like us, join our Discord channel. We have an invite pinned on our Twitter profile. You just click on it, you jump into the chat. We have over 500 members. We chat during match days and weekdays, whatever. Any news that comes out, we're always bantering about on the Discord. It's amazing. Please check it out. Join up. It is free. Also, you don't have any sponsors on our podcast, you want to support us, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes podcast every month. Please check it out. Support us. We have multiple tiers. We give away pin stickers, scarf shirts, you name it. Big shout-out to David Briscoe, who just upgraded his Patreon membership. You are the real MVP. Appreciate you. And a big shout-out to all America Red Devils who reached out to congratulate me on my baby girl. I haven't slept a lot, so you might hear it on this podcast, or I'm powering through. Pod Never Sleeps, my man. You want to tell them about the website and iTunes reviews?
Tell them about the website. I certainly will. We have an unbelievable blog, the American Red Devil blog. Check it out, www.americanreddevils.com. Fan-generated content for fans, by fans. If you're interested in writing for the blog, reach out to us. I am the editor-in-chief. Reach out to us at americanreddevils@gmail.com, and we'll figure something out. Also, great way to support the pod is write 5-star reviews on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to this fantastic podcast. And if you do so, send a screenshot of that 5-star review to americanreddevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devils merch, send it right to your door. Great way to support the pod and get some free stuff. So are you ready to talk about the most exciting United-Leicester game? That was not exciting. What did you think of that match?
Wah, wah. Sir, you want to jump into it? Manchester City won, Leicester City won. It was at Old Trafford. Let's get into that lineup. How am I sounding, sir? We're doing the pod remote. We're trying to do it as best we can, given the circumstances.
You're better. Sir, you're better. You improved it. We're doing it live. I'm giving this guy feedback via text, and he already improved it. Love it.
I got the baby girl at the doctor. I got the kid napping on the cam.
He's going to wake up any moment.
Any American Red Devil with two kids, shout out to you. The pod is going to be undergoing some growing pains here on how to manage the two-kid situation. Alex having a kid later this year. Thinking of you, sir. Let's get into this lineup. Dave saves world number one in net. Luke Shaw left back. Harry Maguire, give that man a cheer. He needs some confidence so he can play better. Varane,
you're so mad about
back.
That. You're so
Dalot
mad.
At right back. McTominay, Fred, midfield too. Paul Pogba playing in the hole. Alonga, Sancho, and Fernandez up top. Now, what we saw actually was the 4-2-2-2. Pogba, Fernandez playing up front, at least in the first half. Alonga, Sancho trying to go wide and behind. This didn't really work. First half was pretty brutal. Let's get into the first half, sir.
Let's do it. It wasn't much of a first half. It was a bit of a snoozer, to be honest. That 4-2-2 left a lot to be desired. United came out slow. Slow as molasses.
Slow as Pogba jogging on a Saturday afternoon.
Dude. Oh, my God. Anywho, he did have a chance, that Paul Pogba, 22nd minute. United finally getting a little bit going. Pogba gets a soft header. Couldn't do much with it, to be fair. Hard to get a lot of speed on it. And then
One comment on Yagba is that he can get away with it when he's in the middle of the field.
Oh, my God.
Or even on the left wing. But when he's, like, up front and you need to be, like, closing people down, you really notice how slow he's going.
And everyone has been super critical of Ronaldo, right? Like, oh, he doesn't close down. And then you watched Pogba pretend to close. Sorry, it was, yeah. Anyway, 27th.
He's also checked out. To be fair, dude, he's his head is not in it. Yeah.
Like, he shouldn't
even
play.
You know, it's hard to be motivated. Nothing to really play for him, you know?
Other than his wages. Anyway, 27th minute, Schmeichel puts a hand. This is basically the chance of the first half for either side. Bruno with a great chance. Schmeichel put a big hand out and saved it. You would have argued Bruno gets a little bit more zest on the ball. That thing's going in, and that makes a statement in the first half. But big chance for Bruno. Could have used a goal.
Yeah, I think his touch let him down here. I think it was a little too far, so he could only try to finesse it. He couldn't try to lift it a little bit. But again, good chance for United in a lackluster first half. Neither team really wanted it. United came on a little stronger in the 40s. But again, nothing to show for it really here.
And what were you saying if you were old Ralph? What would you be saying to the boys headed into halftime?
Yeah, blew the league. You blew the FA Cup. You blew the League Cup. You got bounced in the Champions League. You just had 2 weeks, and now this is like literally the last thing to play for, and you're going to lay down that easy?
Yeah. That's probably what he said to them.
And they're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we don't care.
You want to see lay down? I'll show you lay down. Second half starts with the United sleepwalking. There was a sub to start the second half. Shaw went down with a knock at the end of the first. Telles came on for him. 49th minute, McSauce put a boot into Madison, and Leicester wanted a red. And you know who really wanted a red was NBC Sports. Holy shit, they wouldn't stop talking about it. It was not a red. It was a yellow, and it should have been a yellow.
By the way, watching a game with Alex and having Arlo White on, Alex is just mad the entire time. He's like yelling at all the white and Lee Dixon the entire match.
So I get as triggered by NBC Sports as you get triggered by people applauding Harry Maguire in our own stadium. My wife will literally not let me watch Arlo White because I just shouting at them because they're the worst commentators in sport, bro. They're terrible at their job. So anyway, 55th minute, Rashford came off McTominay. He played very poorly. This is one of the worst games McTominay's had in a while.
Dude, a Scottish center back playing midfield for Manchester United. Who would have thought?
So we might be seeing him in our group if we have anything to say about it. In the 63rd minute, Leicester City putting together a little goal. Here we go.
Tremendous sliding challenge by Dewsbury Hall. Here's James Maddison. The cross goes in towards Iheanacho. 1-0. Kelechi.
Yeah, I don't know, near more Arlo, but Maddison with a great ball. Varane's, yeah, you think he's got to be there far post, and De Gea, to his credit, what a player he is, almost saves it, saves another goal. But United doing what United does, sir, which is just giving up goals.
I was chasing my son around, watching a match with two kids. Also have to figure out how to do that. This one was a rough one, sir. Let's get into that Fred goal, the screamer.
66th minute, Fred the Red. Let's see it.
Fred finds Bruno Fernandes. Save, Fred. 1-1. Massive for Manchester United.
Sir, massive for Manchester United. Massive goal for the Brazilian. Nice little play. Bruno getting a good chance in. And the follow-up, right? That nice, because Schmeichel was there on the ground. He couldn't have done it low, but I thought he was going to blast it over. But Fred, hey, one player playing better with a new manager coming in, interim as he may be, is Fred. He has started to show some worth.
You know, Fred is the mystery man. What a goal. Like you said, I thought I was going to blast it over. He went like, that was close.
It was close.
But you know, we were talking about how like Harry Maguire responds to criticism and how Fred responds to criticism. Fred just, maybe it's because of the language barrier, but Fred just doesn't even listen. He keeps going, you know, and I think that's there's something to be said for how he's weathered, you know, the price tag, the criticism, and he keeps going. So, you know, it has been a half decent season for Fred, I would say. I mean, unfortunately, it's been the other way for Scotty McTominay. I just think we not signing a midfielder in the last window, you know, you could, if you had signed somebody else, you could see McTominay maybe getting some better chances. I think the problem with United is we just run players into the ground and we don't have enough quality rotation, say in the middle of the park, like when Modric came on.
No, it's true. I mean, we don't have a good squad. The squad is completely out of sorts. We're missing players in certain positions. You have a 34-year-old CDM who's your only CDM in the even in the side. Like, McTominay is not good enough. He's a squad player. Fred should have a CDM behind him. And Paco doesn't even want to be here. So it's, Lingard doesn't want to be here. It's like, it's squad rotation. It's squad management. And that goes on the board in the front office. And, you know, we're very weak there. So, hence a weak squad.
Absolutely.
71st minute. Iheanacho with a chance to chip De Gea. United, I love this. United, like, get the goal, and then, like, Leicester.
That was a McTominay giveaway.
Leicester had the best chances.
No, that was a Sancho giveaway.
Yeah, it was a Sancho giveaway.
Yeah, that was Sancho giveaway, yep.
But 71st minute, really good chance. Iheanacho one-on-one with De Gea after, like you said, Sancho giveaway, and he chips it too high. 72nd minute, another one, dude. This was a certain goal from a corner, and David Hay just scoops out of the net. Classic vintage save. Unbelievable from the Spaniard. Matic coming in the 75th minute, sir. What do you think of that for Paul Pogba?
Pogba, get Hannibal in here. Just get somebody else. Like, the fact Pogba's playing and putting in performances like this, it's all you need to know. You know, I mean, he didn't... Pogba, his head's elsewhere. To play Paul Pogba after the comments he makes at France shows exactly what Manchester United has become. You know, we got an interim with Paul Pogba mouthing off about how Manchester United ain't good, basically. Can't win nothing with him, and he's not playing in the right position. And the manager turns around and plays him. You know, it's just...
And he fucking walked around the field, bro.
My point is, like, there's got to be consequences for actions. Just like, And, you know, it's a little, for me, he doesn't care. He doesn't want to be there. So then don't play him, you know. And this has been, hopefully this is one of the last matches we're going to see him, because this was poor, very poor from Paul Pogba. And it's been a long 5 years.
Sorry, it's been a long 10 years. Let's put a knife in this match. 80th minute, Leicester score. Overturned by VAR, I think rightly so. It was definitely a foul on Varane after, like, this ref called the softest game ever. So this was a foul if, you know, all the other fouls were fouls. But I don't know what you thought.
I'll tell you what, NBC Sports were like, that's not a foul. It's a goal. but yeah, and then obviously ate their words live on television. Clearly foul. Glad VAR bailed us out there. But the ref called it so soft and didn't call that. That was really weird. 93rd minute, Sancho should have had the winner. Similar to Atletico. Didn't work. And, you know, skies it. That volley from that left-hand side, one of those goes in. Top four is real. Champions League still to play for. Unfortunately, Sancho's been playing well and then kind of fallen off a little bit. I'm not that concerned about Sancho. He's a player that will be around for United for a while. He'll be great. He'll be a good player. He can handle it. He can handle the heat in the kitchen, unlike Marcus and Harry Maguire.
Saucer of FC, so that was the game. Talking match reaction, stats, sir. Boys were squared off. Shots for both teams. United with 11, Leicester with 11. United slightly edged, 5 shots on target to Leicester's 3. We had slightly more possession, 54 to their 46. Twice as many fouls. I don't know.
Okay, you want to. So you look at the score sheet, right? Leicester City played Arsenal. Arsenal 21 shots to Leicester's 6, 8 on target to Leicester's 3. That is.
No, I watched that game. We could have lost this game.
And that was at the Emirates. That was at Arsenal at home. Leicester were just like not a team. They murdered them. Boss them off the field. Then they come to Old Trafford and it's like they look like they probably should have won this game. And that tells you everything about these players. So it's like the players do deserve criticism because the effort, the desire, the mentality back against the wall. Now you got to really go. Like, hey, you had the 2 weeks international break. Time to finish strong. The fans have had a rough year. Like, show it that you care on the pitch. It's like, this was horrid. As far as the tactics go, the 4-2-2-2, that was poor. The effort from, you know, across the board, Bruno looked like he was trying after his new deal. Still wasn't good enough. De Gea played well, but we were trying to counter Leicester. We played deep.
We're slow.
Hit him on the break. Slow. Nobody up predictable.
Front. It was bad.
Lost the midfield battle. That's been the story of the season. We always lose the midfield battle to Wolves, to Leicester, to probably Arsenal and Liverpool, and shitty. It's like the middle of the park. Not good enough for Manchester United. Not good enough for that badge. And it's like you should have seen a lot of players trying to way harder. And instead, it's this soft serve FC. We've gotten for way too long this year. And that's it. That's probably the season. And play the kids. This is it. Play the kids. We won't. We'll keep running Paul Pogba out there. We'll keep running Harry Maguire. You know, play Phil Jones and Hannibal and you know, all the youngsters.
Phil Jones, regular youngster, 19-year-old Phil Jones.
He's in there. Harry, you know what? When he played, he looked like he gave a
shit. I'd rather watch
him
play. The kids, I'll tell you what, I've been watching more and more of the kids play since I've enjoyed watching the first team less and less. Every game, I enjoy watching them less. Dude, those kids are fighting for, like, Hannibal. He's got something. He's like a proper see you next Tuesday in the best kind of way, sir. He's like a gritty player, bro. But we need players like that in our squad, and we need players that want to fight for the badge. So it's like the smart move would be to get a manager in or have Ralph just start like getting the academy players in and then get them up to the front office as soon as you get a manager in. But the club is just dragging their feet, sir. Dragging their feet.
Speaking of dragging our feet, let's listen to what the manager has to say, Ralph Rangnick.
So here we go. Quick one.
Consultant, are you starting to build a picture for what the next manager might need and how to fix Manchester United?
Well, the picture for me is pretty clear, not only now, but also a couple of weeks ago. And internally, we spoke about that already. but there is nothing else that I can say at this stage.
Okay.
I don't know what that means, sir. We couldn't get much of Ralph after the game, but that was about it. But does seem like he might be going to front office, perhaps, but maybe he hasn't decided who the next manager is going to be. This was apparently the rumor was this is the one he was recommending was the Dutchman, but Ralph playing coy as always. I love the interviews in the lead up to this game. Sorry, obviously he was asked about Paul Pogba, and he's like, I don't know. We got injuries. And I had to play him around the field. I think I would assume a player of his caliber would understand that. Wrong. And then he was asked about something else, and he was like, "Yeah, I think we just need players that want to work hard." And like, his honesty is a fucking incredible, because it's like he just asks these questions. He answers it directly, bro. He just is straight shooter, and he can't help it. And when he says it, it's like devastating, because they've been papering over shit for years, and he just like he can't not lie. He can't not lie.
This club is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. It's been a decade in decline, and you want to say chief CEO of decline, Ed Woodward, hired by the Glazers. And you know who they decided to put in there after Ed Woodward fucked this whole club up? His number two in command. So what do you expect? The same old, same old. Erik ten Hag, Harry Kane to sell more jerseys.
A 30-year-old Harry Kane.
Not learn. Oh, it's like, clearly, God, like, if you're like an absentee owner, you're like, okay, fine. We gave this guy a decade. Well, maybe we should go Edwin van der Sar, you know, obviously Paul Mitchell, you know, some world-class talent in the organization. Even with the budget that we've spent, we can still do it. We just need a different thought process. The idea of trying to get like six players in, youth in, rotation, get players off. The idea of thinking forward, thinking to the future, thinking to the future of Old Trafford, thinking to the future of this team. Erik ten Hag's the man. Okay, he's the man for the next 5 years. What does that 5 years look like? Who should still be here? Who should not be here? Who do we need? Who do we need this summer? Who do we need next summer? This stuff isn't happening at Manchester United. It never has. And that's why we have Fred McTominay midfield. Not saying that they're the issue. I'm just saying you need more options than that. You need more options than Modest, who can only play once a week, maybe 40, 60 minutes. Like, you're playing with one arm tied behind your back. You know, you bring in some young midfield talent who can then rotate with these guys. You're probably going to see better out of Fred and McTominay. And I just think this team has been making the same mistakes for too long. We've seen this movie before, and it's hashtag Glazers out all day. You know, this is just, and the fans, like, we got to step up. I got to step up. You got to step up. This pod needs to step up. We really need to get these owners out of this club, because, boy, we can't do another decade of this.
We can't. That's right. That is the right take. And it's only going to be if the fans are just like, enough is enough, because they could easily hang around for another decade, you know, collecting another 20 million a year. That's 200 million in dividends for over 10 years. That's good money. That's low tax rate in the U.S. too, bro, for dividends. They love those dividends, I'm sure. Just like free money. Just eating up that $20 million every year, bro. And we have to get them out, because they will just hang around the hoop waiting for that $20 million cha-ching, dude. Can you imagine that? Like every year, just $20 million check, bro. And that's why they're not going to leave. So I think we just got to like turn up the heat and get them out, because otherwise, if you were just hanging around for $20 million every year, you probably would.
Yeah, but speak their language. They don't care what Gary Neville has to say. They don't care what we got to say. They care about money, and when we start taking money out of their pocket.
Ooh, they don't like that.
Exactly. Now, speaking of the table, where are United? We are in the Europa Conference League spot, which is sixth this season. So as far as we were banging our heads against the wall trying to figure out how or why Europa Conference League, whatever. It's sixth. Europa League's fifth, top four. Obviously, it gets Champions League football. We were outside looking, and we have 51 points on 30 games. Tottenham, 29 games, 51 points. Arsenal, 28 games, 54 points. Chelsea, 29 with 59. Scouse Bastards, 30 with 72. Shitty, 30 with 73. 8 games left for us to play, and it looks to be done. 4% chance per 538.com. Manchester United could have decided to show up, could have dug deep, could have tried to get a result. And we decided that we'd rather check our bank account balance at the end of the day, because when the owners are worried about money, you got players worried about money, and then you're not going to have a team, you're not going to have a culture, and it is gone. But, sir, we always got a next match, and what better way to wake up at 4:30 a.m.?
World-class football. I guarantee
this
you.
This is set the record for 4:30 a.m. wake-ups. This is horrible.
There's and two in a month.
For Everton.
I know.
Everton versus Manchester United, Goodison Park. We should be able to smoke Everton, right? Send them packets down Saturday, April 9th, 4:30 a.m. Pacific.
Fat Frank is not. He's not. He's get, like he's floundering, but he's going to get a result against us.
Lifetime versus Everton, we've won 90, we've drawn 47, we've lost 70. First time we ever played them was Everton versus Newton Heath in 1892. We got smoked 6-0. Something tells me we won't do that bad. But Everton, they've had a bad run. They've had our number. We drew them in October of this year. As far as the last six goes, we've drawn 4-1-2. We used to beat them all the time. Our good friend is an Everton fan. We like to make fun of them that they're in a relegation battle. Surely we should be able to smoke them. Coming into this game, Everton won against Boreham Wood in the FA Cup fifth round. They lost to Tottenham 5-0. They lost to Wolves 1-0. They beat Newcastle 1-0. And then they just lost to Crystal Palace in the FA Cup by 4-2. They probably are playing today or tomorrow as well.
They're still in a race, bro. They're only They're only
they're
3 points from the drop, sir. They're only 3 points from the drop, but they have a bunch of games in hand.
They're desperate. A little history on Everton. They were founded as St. Domingo's FC in 1878. So the members of the congregation of St. Domingo Methodist New Connection Chapel in Breckfield North Road, Everton, could play sport year-round. Cricket was played in the summer, but obviously they needed football was up and coming at the time, and they decided to add this to the club's repertoire. The club's first game was a 1-0 victory over Everton Church Club, and the club was renamed Everton in 1879 after the local area. As people outside the congregation wish to participate, sir, they are known as the Toffees, the People's Club. They have one of those billionaire owners building a new stadium, doing everything right other than getting this team right at the moment. Everton is a founding member of the Football League, and the most interesting stat about Everton is they have competed in the top division of English football for a record 118 seasons. No team has been a mainstay at the top other than Everton, who are fighting for their lives. It is insane. And
are they going down, bro?
Are
they going down? Is that going to end that run?
No, they are in breach of financial fair play. There's a really interesting situation about Everton at the moment where they are in breach, I believe, last season, but the penalty wouldn't apply till this season. Don't quote me on it, but there is some FFP issues where they could be penalized and they're just going to go to arbitration and kind of figure out. So there could be a points deduction. I doubt that would be the case, but you know, on the severe end of where arbitration could come out, they could get in trouble, but they do have some financial issues, which is really interesting because they're outspending their means and obviously doing horrible on the pitch. They are playing the 3-4-3 under Fat Frank, Pickford in net. Richarlison, Townsend, you know, Decore. Obviously, you know the crew.
They're average. They're fucking average, and they're gonna boss us off the pitch, bro.
No, mark my words, we're not gonna get bossed by Everton. Physioroom.com. Ronaldo got ill. Shaw had that knock on his ankle, and then Cavani, he just wants to get that money. He's done with Manchester United. Just kidding. He has a cash in heel injury, something like that. Given those injuries, what's your lineup for Everton? Away.
So this is what I got. Hopefully we don't get bossed, but you know what? I wouldn't put it past this group of bums. De Gea in net, AWB, Varane, Maguire, Telles, Matic, Fred, Bruno, Sancho, Alanga, Ronaldo. You're back. Let's go, Ronaldo. Who you got, sir?
All right. I'm going to say Dave Saves in net, Wan-Bissaka, Varane, Lindelof, Telles. Can't be cheering for Harry Maguire. Matic, Fred, Bruno, Sancho, Rashford, Ronaldo, sir. That should be a poor Everton side.
Yeah, I heard that before.
Give me the odds. Looking the bookies.
Okay, so you can tell United is like terrible because these odds should be way worse. Plus 340 for Everton at home, who are literally 3 points from the drop, bro. Plus 270 draw, minus 125 for United. That is an indictment of Manchester United, by the way. Like, you know, those odds should be so much different, but I'm not confident. I wouldn't take that line. What do you got?
What's your score prediction?
1-1. What about you?
You got a draw. I'm going to say 2-1. We're good for a goal, but we can win it. I mean, you got Ronaldo comes back. We'll do some damage, sir. Let's get into the news. United in the news. Per the Daily Mail, David Moyes insists it will take over £150 million for Chelsea or Manchester United to sign Declan Rice. Not sure why he's saying Chelsea, because their big Russian crook has been sanctioned. I don't think they're going to be buying players for £150 million. That shows you what David Moyes knows. But £150 million, Declan Rice, have a laugh.
Yeah, this is called fuck you money, right? This is like what we should have taken as the Harry Maguire money when they were like, yeah, he's 180 million. No, excuse me, not 180. He's £80 million. That's like, okay, we got to find another target. Right, this is money that's like so ridiculous that you just walk away. But last time we didn't walk away; we bit and overpaid for a player that we shouldn't have after they gave us their fuck you price. And this is another fuck you price. So like, hopefully we've learned the lesson, but I don't think we will, bro. I think it's 150 million over like 6 years in installments. What do you got?
I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, Manchester United has 80 million. On their balance sheet. We're going to miss out on top four. You know, how much can we spend this summer? There's a lot of outstanding obligations financially. 60 million net. Obviously, there are some players you could try to sell, like Martial. How much are you getting for? I mean, like, you talk about like selling players, this club's like a joke. Pogba leaving on a free, Jesse leaving on a free. They barely could sell Chris Smalling, who was playing well. I mean, Martial's playing like shit at Sevilla. Nobody's going to want him. As far as how we're going to be able to sign players, Declan, look, they keep pricing Declan Rice $150 million. He's never going to go. So Declan Rice is going to have to force his way out or something. You could probably get a deal done in the 80s. You think of like a Sancho type of price with big money. Declan Rice wouldn't be a bad signing, but you need Declan Rice and a striker. And a left back.
And another CDM, right back. Probably.
Like, and another midfielder.
Right.
It's like, the problem with United is we need six players. We don't need one. So if Declan Rice goes 150, A, we don't have that. And B, we got to start going to the bargain bin. We got to start going to the dollar store.
Which is fine. Just go to the dollar store. Instead of spending all your summer.
No, but not like, we're not talking Gabriel from the French League for 25.
Which
we're
is a great deal.
No, but we can't even afford multiple players for 25. You know, we're in the
Kessie. You should be picking up Kessie, bro. Like, we should have gotten Kessie.
Free, yes, yeah, exactly.
Kamara.
We're in the
Kamara,
freeze,
pick him up,
free zone. Yeah, exactly. Yes. No,
they're not doing nothing. They're just sitting on their hands.
Hey, Chinese league, who do you got?
Yeah.
We're in the Igalu. Like, trust me, it's going to be like two interesting players and like a bunch of like what? Like that, I think this summer will be interesting. That's when we have to be really on the club here. But back against the wall, not a lot of cash with missing on Champions League and a lot of business to do. Also, the Bruno deal, two thumbs up here. He doubles his wages to 240K a week. You got to love the Bruno deal. Whatever you think about Bruno, it goes to 2026. This is just the club maybe learning from not re-upping Paul Pogba, because at the end of the day, if Bruno stays or if he goes, you need him signed up for a long-term deal so you can get big money for Bruno Fernandes. So even if you want him to go, this is good news, because the club will get more money as fans. This is what you want. It's better than extending Bailly or Mata or Modric
or
Jones. I mean, this is not that. This is like a good player. And yeah, he might not be the solution to Manchester United's problems, but when he is sold, we will make money, unlike Pogba, etc.
100%. This is good business. This is just like, of all the players that actually deserved a re-up and an increase. It was him. So all about it. We already talked about it.
I don't know about deserve. I don't know if this season deserves anything, right? I don't think losing to Villarreal, but when you say, like, I don't think losing to Villarreal in this terrible season deserves, like, but you think about
that's not how comp, strategy. That's not how comp works.
Talking about business strategy and locking players up long-term to ensure that you do not have a Pogba situation. Makes sense. Not like, hey, you did so great against this past year, you get a raise.
Paying Tony Martial $240,000 to go on loan in Sevilla and be awful at Sevilla, to be awful. He can't even get minutes at Sevilla.
Yeah, who could have thought that?
Problem is, like, he can look, he knows what everybody's paid, so he can go and see what that guy's paid and just say, hey, I at least earned that. So it's like, that's the problem. So I agree that, like, this season, nobody deserves to get paid. Everybody should get paid with sandwiches. But, you know, there's comps.
I think we should touch on the Harry Maguire. He got absolutely just destroyed, booed, playing for England. A lot of people came out to his defense. And then he came out at Old Trafford today. Everyone was cheering him. But he, again, we did play the deep line. A lot of protection for Harry. He did look like a numpty on that VAR call. What do you make of it? I mean, for me, it's just one of those things where, like, yeah, maybe the boot. I don't know why England fans boo their own players when they qualified the World Cup and they made it to the final of the Europa League. It doesn't make any sense. The United fans booing Harry Maguire makes sense because he's the captain and the team's in shambles. And as a captain, it's kind of your responsibility. And even then, he hasn't been booed. He's just been, I think, fairly criticized for just not playing, not having a good year. I just think it's too much about – we should be more concerned about United and their performance than, you know, Harry Maguire's emotional state. And if he's that fragile, he shouldn't be the captain of Manchester United, because, of course, you're going to be held to a higher standard as the captain. That's kind of what the whole thing is.
We've clearly found out that he should not be the captain, right? Like, I think that's pretty obvious. Exactly. But the point is, like, if Arlo White wants us to talk about it, then we shouldn't be talking about it. So it's like, I agree. I think this is more of, like, United fans stepping up for their own, because, like, England fans suck, bro. Like, England fans just, like, they always villainize.
By the way, a lot of England fans listening, I love the English, bro.
But, like, as fans, you know, like, I'll fucking argue with them all day about this. Like, they are very hard on their team, and they have a tendency to fucking villainize Manchester United stars. They did it with Beckham. They did it with Rooney. And Harry, like, actually has played better than those two in European tournaments for England. So it makes the least amount of sense. So it's like, yeah, man, I'm going to call it like it is. And they're not great fans, because they always expect their team to be, like, the greatest. And then when they underperform, they just, like, rip them to shreds. So, yeah.
No, and that's actually, like, I think what your view is colored by the English press, which is vicious.
Of course.
Because the English fans that we've met at the World Cup in Brazil, they were actually pretty chill, and they kind of had low expectations. So, like, we don't usually do that good.
They were pretty cool.
So, like, most England fans, I think, are actually pretty even keel. And obviously there's outliers. But then, like, I think the press are just vicious. And so, yeah, maybe – look, but Harry
– the press didn't boom,
bro. All I'm trying to say is – yeah, no, but I agree. But, like, they have manufactured a lot of that press machine has, like, definitely manufactured a lot of the criticism for him. For whatever reason, he's had a rough go at United. I think Rangnick should have given the armband. First of all, Ole should have given it to Ronaldo just to give him cover, because you can tell he's struggling. He's just, like, everyone's on him. Get that armband off of him. Give it to Ronaldo. He can handle it. Maguire, it was a little too much for him, and he's not playing well. So just give him a break. Kind of give him a break in some games. You know, like, maybe get Jones involved, something. Like, I think managers usually, like, Fergie did a great job protecting players. And I think Maguire's been, like, it's been a rough go for him. He's been exposed, and, you know, no one's come to his aid. But I think there was fair pushback against England, but you had to address it on the pod. It's been a big ruse over international break. Next year, Premier League to introduce 5 subs per match. What do you make of this one? Interesting year.
I think it's long overdue. You know, they're working with players like dogs. They play too many games. They're adding more games next year. So you saw it, more Champions League games. Of course, they should have 5 subs. They should have done this season. So I'm glad they're doing it, but it should have been done earlier. But yes,
about 4? How about five, four? I mean, like, five's like, that's too much, in my opinion. Way too many subs. They used to not have subs in the 60s, and they had, like, you had to be injured. Then it was like you had to be injured to come off. And then it became this thing where, like, give people a break. I think five subs is too big of a step from three. It should be four if they do it. I think that's totally reasonable. Five is, like, too many where you don't even use them all. Four seems like, okay, fine. Obviously, you're going to have the World Cup in the middle of next year as well. I think that's another reason. But, you know, I think you're not going to like five subs. I think it's going to be one of those things where.
Well, if they could do it in five goes, right? Like, imagine when a team is bleeding out a game, like a Mourinho is bleeding out a game, and he's going to do like five subs in a row in stoppage time, and you'll never get a kick of the ball.
Yeah, it's more stoppages. I actually haven't read the fine print. I don't know if it's
I thought it was in three waves. Stoppages. It should be.
Yeah. But we'll see. I think that's probably what it is. But either way, it's all. Sir, the rich are going to get richer. Shitty's only going to use this to their benefit. This only helps them. This doesn't help United. Look at our bench today. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like this is just going to help the better teams because other teams aren't going to have enough players to put in. Too many for my.
We should be a better team. Agree, disagree. Like we're a shit team because we're run poorly. But like, if we were a top United side, we'd love this rule, bro.
This is true. This is true. All right, and then also the World Cup draw. I mean, Qatar 2022, United States makes it, and then the draw, England, Iran, United States, and then Wales, Ukraine, Scotland. Obviously, that will be decided in June. What'd you make of the group, Alex? We're going to be playing England again. Last time we played England, 2010 South Africa. I was at Mad Dog in the fog in San Francisco.
God, I remember that. That was
I got there at 4 a.m. when they opened. The game wasn't until like noon or 1. They started serving dark ales at 6 a.m. It was loose. We were banging on the roof.
I remember
singing
that game.
Bruce Springsteen. And by the way, tie in 1-1. What a game. I think England, I listened to Talk Sport Live when the draw was made. And boy, were the English kind of having a go at United States. I mean, like last time we played in the World Cup, we drew and you had a horrible round. So, you know, this one, England kind of throwing some shade at us, speaking to the England fans. But it will be an interesting group. A good draw for United States. I'm pumped.
Same with here. I mean, first and foremost, American Devils are going booked, confirmed. We're rocking and rolling. And this is a good group for the U.S. England, I'm throwing even more shade because, A, dude, we love England. I mean, we go to England twice a year. And they've been on their perch for a while. They like to talk shit at the U.S. in general, you know, in general, even as, like, a club fan. But this will be fun. Also, like, playing a team that's a local team when we're going to a Middle Eastern World Cup is going to be fun. So I like the fact that Iran is in our group. And then Wales, Ukraine, Scotland, we can't lose in terms of, like, those are all teams that United States should not, like, we can't lose the game. Of course we can lose. And we can lose all three of those games because those are all decent teams. But those are all, like, fun teams to play. And I really like this group. So a lot to look forward to. Can't wait to play England, sir. Are we going to see that game? I think we're flying that day.
No, so yeah, the American Red Devils are flying the day after Thanksgiving out to Dubai. We'll be watching England, United States that morning, then flying out the afternoon, and then we'll be going to United States versus Iran in the Middle East. It's going to be phenomenal. I think Qatar 2022 is going to be the fire festival of World Cups, like you were saying. It's going to be a nightmare, that game, it will be worth going to. I just don't think that, you know, Qatar, from the bribery to the human rights violations to them just not having the infrastructure to be able to handle a World Cup. It makes no sense why they got it. Obviously, the bribery is why they did. The Sepp Blatter was, you know, the president of FIFA at the time. He's been, you know, bounced for corruption. So, you know, it's just it's a sad day. Qatar has mixed feelings about it, but hey, we haven't been in 8 years. U.S., Iran, let's go. It's going to be great regardless.
Exactly. I'm sure the average Qataris, I know there aren't a lot of them, but the ones we meet, you know, I'm sure they're decent people and like they didn't decide to like, you know, corruptly buy that or do what they did with the migrant workers. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to the U.S. going. Hopefully we can get out of the group and do more, sir. Go for the quarters. Let's go, baby.
But proper World Cup will be 2026 U.S., Canada, Mexico, 48 teams. That's going to be unbelievable. What a great summer. That will be really what the World Cup should be. Bring the World Cup to England. Bring it, like, imagine the England, Ireland, sort of like Euros, UK, but imagine like a UK World Cup would be just as phenomenal. You need to have the – you can't build all this infrastructure from scratch. You need to have it. You know, it's – you know, so we'll see. We'll give you – we'll be podding from the Middle East. We'll keep you guys posted. Let's jump into fan questions. At Jamal Mota, sirs, did Ronaldo fly to Portugal today? Is that why we played like shite? Does Europa Conference have a catchy hook to it? It's a laugh that we have no strikers available and are playing Bruno there. Only one thing to do, hashtag Glazers out. I mean, I feel like we're beating that drum all year long. At MMABAH13, lucky to get a point. Sancho and Alonga both had a rough go of it today. Pogba was prime Jogba, and Rashford didn't add too much when he came on.
Oh my God.
I guess Dave Saves is the man of the match. Europa Conference League, here we come. Dave Saves. Who is your man of the match today?
Dave Saves. He saved his, I mean, he kept this a point, right? Because otherwise, that Fofana header is a goal, bro. For most keepers, that's a goal.
I know. It's just one of those things where it's like, imagine where we would be without him. Like, that's the problem. De Gea is doing enough to keep us in Europa Conference League.
I know, it would be 10th.
I hope, you know, I hope we miss out on it.
So do I.
Obviously, so you know, I don't want to play Europa. It's the same league. It's the same theme as Hansa Franz. They spun up this new tournament. They called Hans and Franz. They asked them if they could have the rights to the jam. They said yes. Same thing. At Dave Paws here, I am numb to it now that we have a squad of 11 individuals, no resemblance of a team. I can't wait for half of them to leave. The problem, Dave, is they probably won't. Mark my words, Tony Martial going to be wearing a United shirt next year because nobody wants to buy him. And the Glazers will shove that down Eric Ten Hag's throat. Let's hope Eric Ten Hag is the next coming of Sir Alex Ferguson, because short of that, it's going to look a lot like, if you look at Ole, I think I saw the tweet from Simon Stone, Ole 47%, Rangnick 48% win rate with this team. You can change the manager.
Give him the control that Fergie had. Fergie had complete control. If you give, what's his name? If you give Eric complete control and time and like at least some money, he'll get there. I am confident of that. It's just like they ain't going to give him the control, bro, because they're not going to get rid of that control. Because that dividend, baby, that pays well. Cha-ching, $20 million a year, bro. Taxed at 15%. Come on. That's like, that is insane money. I'll take that.
All right, end this with the spiciest tweet of them all, at Marco Nunes 408. Quote, but at least we cheered for Harry, this fucking club, man. Wait until we play a Liverpool side fighting for the title. We're going to get embarrassed again. Clown show. I mean, what is the odds?
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to that game. I am not going to see us play Liverpool again, bro. I'm good.
It will be better or worse than last time we played them.
It can't be. I mean, it could always get worse. I mean, you could get like, we could get fucking annihilated at the Klopp and just have those asshole fans just like singing in our face for 90 minutes. So I guess it could be, I mean, we could lose 8-0. It like, I can't remember the stadium right now. Sir, it could always get worse. It could definitely be worse. He could just like annihilate us at their house.
I mean, you mean at the shitbox, aka Anfield?
Yeah,
is that the stadium you're looking for?
There you go.
So what do you make of fans saying that next season is going to be much better than this one? What do you think of that statement? A lot of people are saying, this year it's a write-off. Next year, we're going to get a new coach.
We've been saying that. You know, I've been saying that to myself for 10 years, bro. I've been like, I'm trying to learn more as I get older, you know, father, husband, whatever, friend. Like, I'm just trying to get better. Always, and like, learn from the mistakes you made. And I think assuming that we're going to be better with the same cast of characters is a fool's errand, bro. So I'm trying to protect myself emotionally. So I think we're going to be shit because we're shit now. So I can't see us getting better even with a coach because we're still owned by the Glazers. We still have John Murtaugh as our DOF. You still have Richard Arnold as your CEO. You still have Matt Judge doing deals. Like, why would we get better? That's it.
If people want to think about next season, I recommend you Google Manchester United contracts. You look at that list. You look at that. We got Phil Jones till 2024. That's the problem, right? So the idea of like, Ten Hag isn't a next year we're doing great. Ten Hag is we need two windows to offload these players, two windows to get players in. Next year is not even probably like a top four season. Next year is just sort of like build the foundation to then get the players to then actually move up the table. This is a long-term project, and I hope that's communicated as such. I hope he is backed as such. I hope the board understands doing this chopping and changing and Declan Rice deals. That is, should be a thing of the past.
100%, bro. We got to stop spending 80, 90, 100 million pounds on one player. Let's do like double certain. And even still, I think that's a bad use of your budget. All your summer budget on one player is not a good move.
That's it. That's the podcast. What a day. What a draw. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. Please support the the podcast on Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Also check out our website, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Sir, I am lacking some sleep, so I appreciate everyone hanging in there with me today. Join our Discord as well. Write a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. It helps more than you know for us to get found. We're a small-time shop. Sir, you got the top downloads last 7 days.
I do. So we're gonna put this to bed so you can get some sleep. Okay. Number one, how you doing? Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Number two, Charleston, South Carolina. Old Lyme, Connecticut. Reston, Virginia. Columbus, OH. Walnut, California. Charlottesville, Virginia. Orlando, Florida. Houston, Texas. And last but not least, Riverview, Florida. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. It has been a rough season. Rough as it gets, sir. It could get worse. Hopeful that it won't. But hey, we got each other. We got the fans. We got the history. And the kids, the academy, U18 and U23s, they're playing decent football at the moment.
Let's go. You got a song for us?
Sir, United Calypso, baby. Keep singing that until it comes true.
Enjoy. Have a great week.
All right. Peace.